again to the Sermon on the Mount. And if you've been coming for any amount of time, we are working our way through the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to, again, this is the one thing I'm going to say week after week, please forgive me, I'm not going to introduce the Sermon on the Mount. So there's a whole background here that you actually really need to know. And think how boring I'm boring anyway. Imagine if every week I have to introduce it again. So if you want an introduction to the whole Sermon on the Mount, you need to go online. You need to download the first talk in the series, and I introduced the Sermon on the Mount there. So today, like every week, we're just jumping straight in. Have a look on the screen. I will read it in a moment. Perhaps you can just go for, oh, well, never mind. Let me read it first. But I just want to show you what ground we've covered. Let me read it first. Have a look on your outlines and on the screen, Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord, do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. This is what we've seen so far in Good Life. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And today, here's what we're going to look at. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Where do you think Jesus got that from? I want you to imagine two boys. Two little boys. 7 years old. Two little seven-year-old boys, besties, and they're playing together. You're inside, you're doing something, you can hear them outside playing. And it's all very happy, and you know it's happy for about 2 or 3 minutes. And then an argument breaks out. And one little boy turns to the other little boy and he says to him, "That's not fair." Think. Just think for a moment. What's he saying? 7 years old. What's he saying? He's not saying, "I don't like that." That's true. He's not saying that. He's not saying, "I don't want you to do that." That's true. But he's not saying that. He's saying, "It's not fair." The other little boy replies. What does he say? "No, it is fair." He doesn't say, "Well, I don't care. I just want to do this." He doesn't say that. He says, "No, it is fair." 2 7-year-old little boys appeal to an objective, higher standard that they both subject themselves to voluntarily. You know, 7-year-old boys don't subject themselves to anything voluntarily. Oh, but there is this thing called fairness. And both of them, 7 years old, totally believe in it. Totally subscribe to it. It's a standard outside of themselves. The question is, Where did they get that from? Where did they get it from? Every single human being, that's you, that's me, wants justice. All of us want justice. I've never met a human being who says, I want unfairness. No one is satisfied with injustice. In fact, it's such a deep psychological and emotional need, hear this, that if you are the victim of injustice, if you're the victim of unfairness, it can actually cause psychological damage. It can actually cause emotional harm. It's unfairness. Justice is something that human beings desperately need. It's not in nature. It's not in nature. No animal complains about fairness or justice. Animals operate on survival of the strongest. It's that simple. Imagine another two little boys, not seven, 13. One day, 1996, they attend St. Patrick's Cathedral for church. The Archbishop is George Pell. He catches them stealing communion wine, you know, the wine that they use in the sacristy. The sacristy is a place where Roman Catholics put on medieval clothes. He then sexually abuses them in the most horrible way. 23 years goes past. Nothing happens. No justice, no fairness. So why don't the two boys just get over it? Why don't they just move on? Because we can't live without fairness. We can't live without justice. And both of them struggle traumatically. One of the little boys, his life falls apart completely. And he dies in 2014 of a heroin overdose at age 31. The other is also 31, is haunted, broken. He manages to hold his life together. I believe he's got a girlfriend now. But he's shattered on the inside. Meantime, George Powell's star rises and rises and rises. He becomes a cardinal in the Roman Catholic Church. He becomes the third or fourth most senior person in the Vatican. He becomes the one who is in charge of the Vatican Bank, which makes him better than the CEO of Telstra. He's the most powerful Roman Catholic in Australia. Where's the fairness? Where's the justice? Oh, well, there's a form of justice, and it grinds very slowly. It's very expensive. It's very complicated. There's trials. There's mistrials. There's finally this week, and you know, this week, a 12-person jury unanimously convicts Cardinal Powell on 5 counts of very serious sexual abuse. In all likelihood, Cardinal Powell will spend the rest of his life in prison. But there's an appeal, so I'm not going to guarantee that. I don't know. So there you go. You can all rest. Justice is served. Really? Are you sure? I have my doubts. What about the young boy who died at 31? Where's the fairness? Where's the justice? Will Cardinal Powell's imprisonment heal the survivor? Do you think today he's going, oh, well, sure, thank goodness that's all over. Is that how he feels? What about all the other allegations, the ones they couldn't prove? And what happens if Cardinal Powell is innocent? I doubt. But there are some who've put forward pretty strong arguments. What am I saying? At best, this was an attempt at justice. At best, this was a go at fairness. Christians don't look to human beings for justice. Christians don't look to the system for fairness. Christians believe in fairness. Christians believe in justice, but it is not where not yet Christians think it is. What would you, as a Christian, say to those boys? What would you say? What do Christians say to people who have suffered horrific injustice? What healing hope do we give them? What do we say? For Christians, this morning, Jesus offers the most satisfying hope and comfort that you could imagine. And I'm going to be honest with all of you, this is not for everybody. This is only for Christians. I've got to say that clearly. The Sermon on the Mount is only for Christians. I've introduced this to you and I've shown it to you. It sounds terrible, hear me. It sounds terrible, but I'm just going to be honest. We've got no comfort to give to people who are not yet Christians. The hope and comfort Jesus offers is not for everyone. It's for his disciples. But don't be put off. Because Jesus says, well, why don't you become my disciple? The offer to become Jesus' disciple is open. It's wide open. Anyone and everyone, without exception, is invited to become a disciple of Jesus. If you become a disciple of Jesus, then you will hear this morning what he offers those who suffer injustice and unfairness. If you reject that offer, then I'm going to give you my best offer. Try and find comfort somewhere here on earth. I don't know where. You know, try and find justice. I don't know where you're going to do that. I don't know. But do your best. Listen to what Jesus says to Christians. And it's on the screen. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. First of all, Jesus says to his disciples, you are blessed. We've looked at that word again and again. He means you have got it good. You're in a good place. You're in a good position. On your mate. Blessed are you. When am I blessed? You're blessed, look what it says, when you're meek. Now what is meek mean? Well, don't turn the M into a W like I just did. Do not do what I just did, okay? It's meek, not weak. Jesus is not saying blessed are the weak. He means blessed are the meek. He's not talking about geek either. This is not about revenge of the nerds. This is not about the geeks. This is about the meek. So what does meek mean? Listen, everyone, if you're taking notes, here it comes. Meek means someone who doesn't fight for themselves, but looks to God for vindication. Someone who looks to God for justice. Someone whose case is referred to God for fairness. Blessed are those people. And you say, Dwayne, how does that help me when I'm unfairly treated? The comfort is this. Well, we're going to work through it, through this talk. God will sort it out. God will sort it out. God will see to it that perfect justice is done. Cardinal Powell was convicted by a 12 person jury on 5 counts. Now, in Australia, as in many places, the legal principle is of a jury, trial by your peers. That's the principle. But a previous jury of trial by your peers couldn't even come to a decision. It was ruled a mistrial. None of the jurors, even in this case, actually saw what happened, obviously. None of them saw what happened. None of them can look inside Cardinal Pell's heart. None of them could see what's inside there. None of the jurors know what life was like for those two victims. None of them. Trial by your peers is the best we can come up with. Sometimes justice even gets done mildly. How much better is trial not by your peers, but by your maker? How cool is that? God can see into your heart. God knows to the intimate detail what those two boys went through. God saw the whole thing happen. God is the perfect judge. And best of all, God is morally perfect. In him is light, and there is no darkness at all. See, here's the thing about juries and jurors. There's a little bit of us that always resonates with the perpetrator. Because we're sinners ourselves. None of us hate sin or abuse like we should. None of us. Everyone knows why the government is soft on crime. They're full of criminals. You know, that's a joke. I don't mean that literally, you know. But what it does illustrate is that God is the perfect judge because he's untainted by evil. Now, for all those reasons, if I was a victim of injustice, I would want God to try my case. He hates injustice. And if you're a Christian here this morning, that is what your God has promised to do. He's promised to do it. All you have to do is look to him. Look at this verse here. We're going to come back to this verse later. It's from the book of Romans, but he's quoted Deuteronomy. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. Leave it to the wrath of God. The wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion. But did you all see that? Do you know there's some people who don't like the idea of God getting angry? Obviously, they've never been a victim of injustice, obviously. Why does God get angry? Because God has got compassion. Anger and compassion are the same thing. Because God cares, he gets so angry. If you don't want an angry God, then you want a God who doesn't care. God gets angry, and he will vindicate his people by his wrath. Because he has compassion. And so back to what Jesus says. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. Now actually, Jesus there is quoting Psalm 37. So we're going to go to Psalm 37 to really understand what Jesus means. So have a look on your outlines. Psalm 37. Let's understand what Jesus is saying. Look at the first verse. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Now, I want you to notice, 3 times it says, fret not. Look down at verse 7. Be still before the Lord, wait patiently for him, fret not. Look down at verse 8. Refrain from anger, forsake wrath, fret not. 3 times this psalm says, fret not. Here's what it's teaching us. The first danger when you've suffered injustice or unfairness is that you dwell on it and you ruminate on it like a cow with weeds and you let it go round and round and you stew on it. You fret. And the Bible says, don't fret. Don't dwell on it. Oh, well, that's nice to say. How am I supposed to not? All right? Come with me. We'll see. Secondly, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Look at the next thing. And don't be envious of wrongdoers. Sometimes when we've been outdone by someone, we envy them. We almost want what they've got. And the Bible says, don't. Why not? Look at verse 2. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Soon fade. The Bible says that perpetrators of injustice are on a short leash. They are temporary. You must take that on board. They are temporary. Now, everyone hear me. Of course. If there's no life after death, then they are anything but temporary. Think about it. Cardinal Pell was convicted at 77 years old. One of his victims died of a heroin dose at 31. Of course I envy Cardinal Pell. Which life would you rather have? Which life would you rather have? Flying around on Roman Catholic jets. Rich, powerful. The other one, heroin addict. Which life would you prefer? But compare it to forever. That's what the Bible is saying. If you don't believe in life after death, you will never believe in justice. I don't know why you don't just give up on justice. Because there's none here, and we know this. But the Bible says it's temporary because this life is temporary. That's where we come to the heart of it. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Befriend faithfulness. Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. Trust in the Lord. How is my heart going to be healed when I've been so done wrong by? Answer, looking to God. Trusting in the Lord. Befriend faithfulness. What does that mean? Faithfulness is a technical term in the Old Testament. It's God's fealty and covenant loyalty. It's God's keeping his promises. That's what faithfulness means. And so you need to look to God and know he will do what he has promised to do. He will do it. Everybody, if you really, really believe that your Father is going to sort it out, that would be the medicine that your aching soul needs. But it gets sweeter. It gets even better than that. Look at verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean? I delight myself in the Lord. He's going to give me a house. No. Delight yourself in the Lord and you will get the Lord. Delight yourself in him. He will give you the desires of your heart, which is him. Because that's who you delight in. Treasure God and you will have your treasure. About 9 years ago, I'm going to show you that I'm not proud. So I'm going to admit this, and some of you are going to snigger. About 9 years ago, Naomi and I were horribly ripped off. Oh my goodness. It's embarrassing for me to admit it. We were ripped off thousands of dollars. It happened at a horrible time in the life of our church. Our eldership was being falsely accused of things we never did by our denomination. And while that was going on, in my head was some tradie. Which I'm a South African, so I didn't know this happened. I'm going to be honest with you, I was naive. I didn't know this actually happens in Australia. Some tradie took money from us for a patio. I did investigate where he got his stuff from. I drove into Wangara and to this company called Stratco. They had received an order from him. So I did a little bit of background check, but not a lot. Anyway, I gave him money and gave it. Turns out he went bankrupt. And turns out he was always going to go bankrupt. And turns out when I went to this company, I shouldn't have mentioned the name, they said, yes, no, he's got lots of orders, but he hasn't honored any of them. Why didn't you tell me? We lost thousands. It was a devastating blow. How do we cope? What did Naomi and I do? Little immigrants, haven't been long in Australia. What are we going to do? Well, I thought of going to Graham Cox. Because Graham, he loves me. He said, mate, do you want me to go around there? I nearly said yes. You know what we did? We treasured God. We treasured Him. If money is your treasure, you're never going to get over being ripped off money. You're never going to get over it. It's going to eat you up inside. If your pride is your treasure, if you get falsely accused, you're never going to get over it. You're going to taste bitterness until everybody in the whole of Perth only says nice things about you. Because you can't deal with it. Your pride is your treasure. If your body is your treasure, you will never get over abuse, ever. It'll gnaw at your soul. This week I read a report of another 13-year-old little boy in Ecuador from Barnabas Fund. Guys came up to him, poured petrol all over him and set him alight. He has had a horrific past 2-3 years in and out of hospital. His whole body is covered in scars. This is what he says. I have learned not to hate those who did this to me. God has healed me, and I'm just so grateful to Him, even though I'm covered in scars. Treasure God. You can get over anything. Treasure God, and who can touch your treasure? More, that gets better. God, your treasure will fight for you. Look at verse 5 and 6. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. Look at these words. He will act. I don't know about you, but I don't just want words. He will act. Look what He says in verse 6. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. What does that mean? It means it's all going to come out. It's all going to be exposed. It's all going to come out. I am starting to feel sorry for the tradie who ripped me. I think I'm in a much better position than him. It's going to come out. It's going to come out. And so what must we do? Look at verse 7. Be still before the Lord. Let it go. Let it go. Be still before the Lord. You don't fight. Be still before the Lord. And look at these words. Wait patiently for Him. Can you all see the new song we're singing today? When we sing it again, you're going to see line after line, word after word comes out of the song. That's why we're singing it. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. What's the most common thing people who suffer injustice want to do? What's the most common thing? You know, I don't get revenge. One of my annoying children went through a phase of giving me frights. I'm not going to mention her name. But I go to the garage and this little annoying person will be hiding there. And I'm deep in thought and pops out and gives me a fright. Oh my goodness. And you've got that split second of rage. You know you can kill someone in that split second. And you know what I always say to this anonymous person? I always say to you, I don't get angry. I get even. And then I forget. You know, and I'm like, don't. You know what they say? V is for vendetta. The thought that I'd feel better. But actually, it leads to a bellyache. Revenge is not an option. Look at verse 8. Refrain from anger. Forsake wrath. Don't do it. Fret not yourself. And guess why? It tends only to evil. When you take revenge, you become like the offender. What is the point of looking at a man in a hole who done you bad, and you jump in with him? What is the point of that? It only leads to evil. Okay, Dwayne, what must I do? Help me, how do I come? Finally, we come to the great hope that Jesus offers. And he quotes this in the Sermon on the Mount. Look with me at 9, 10, and 11. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, look at his words, he will not be there. You lay on your bed. He kept you awake at 2 in the morning. For the rest of your life, you were taking heroin to get away from him because he was always there. Jesus says one day, he will not be there. Verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Did you see it twice? Verse 9, shall inherit the land. Verse 11, inherit the land. But Jesus says, blessed are the meek. They will inherit not the land, the earth. Well, if you've been coming to Essentials, you know this is the style of the Bible. What God promises in the Old Testament, he doesn't give exactly in the New, like that little piece of land on the right-hand side of the Mediterranean. Not at all. When God makes a promise, Jesus escalates it. He gives it. He fulfills it. He keeps God's promises, but not like that. Like that. And here's another classic case. God promises the meek will inherit the land. Jesus says the meek will inherit the earth. So, Dwayne, if I'm meek, looking to God for vindication, trusting in him, what's my reward? And I tell you your reward. Everything. I read this week that the family of Cardinal Pell's victims are going to sue the Roman Catholic Church. And I'm sure they're going to make millions, obviously. Do you think that's justice? Would you swap your children's lives for millions? No, I don't think they're wrong. Power to them. I hope they sue the Roman Catholics or they're bankrupt. Yeah. But even the families know that's not justice. If God fights for you, you're not going to get millions. You're going to get the whole earth. The world as it should be. You inherit the new heavens and the new earth. Talk about compensation. Talk about fairness. Talk about vindication. I'm going to entrust my cause to God. And look what life looks like in the new heavens. Look at verse 10. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. The joy of the new heavens is that they've got no more wickedness. You can beat Cardinal Pell. You can see him in jail. You can make your millions. And for the rest of your life, you're thinking, gee, I hope that doesn't happen again. Oh, I better watch my children. I better. In the new heavens, it won't happen again. It can't happen. There's no more wickedness. They're gone. Look at verse 11. The meek will inherit the earth and delight themselves in abundant peace. It's the opposite of fret. Fret not, fret not, fret not. But you will delight in peace. Peter Tosh, I know all of you love reggae. Know it, I believe it. Deep down inside, you just got to get some help. The great late Peter Tosh said this, everyone is crying out for peace. Yeah, none of them is crying out for justice. Me, I don't want no peace. I want equal rights and justice. He's right. He's right. There can be no peace without justice. No, can't be peace without justice. So verse 11, the meek will inherit the land, delight themselves in abundant peace. Why? Why? Because there has been justice. God your Father has sorted it out. Look again at this verse. Look at it again. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. Leave it to the wrath of God. It is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. That's why you can have abundant peace. Justice has been done. Imagine a world where there is no sexual abuse ever. Imagine a world of absolute justice and fairness. No exploitation. That is the world that Jesus is going to bring. But you will not get it unless you are meek. It's not for everyone. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Do you want to see what meek looks like? Would you like to see what meek looks like? Let me show meek to you. Here he comes. Look at the first verse. His name is Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn from me. For I am, and the exact same word, meek and lowly in heart. I don't fly Roman Catholic Church airplanes around the world. I don't run a bank. I am meek and lowly. I hang around with lowly people. And you will find rest for your souls. It's not just Jesus' life. It's his reign as the King of Kings. And look, oh, that'll change him. That'll make him proud. No. Look at his reign. Look at the next verse. Say to the daughter of Zion. This is from the book of Zechariah, which if you come into Essentials, you now know is all about Jesus. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. Same word. Humble. Mounted on a donkey. I thought he travels in a box with glass and people with suits running next to him. He rides on a donkey. On a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. There's your king. There's your king. But above all else, you want to see meekness? Look at this. Look at the final verse. The cross of Jesus Christ. He was oppressed, Isaiah says. He knows what it's like. You know those two boys? Jesus knows. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Watch the meekness. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb, I don't know what's more meek than a lamb, that is led to the slaughter. Happy, trusting, like my labradoodle. And he walks behind me, believes me, idiot. Anytime I'm taking him to the bath, he doesn't know. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. Like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Here's my question as we close. Why did Jesus do that? He's not gullible. He knew they were going to crucify him. Why did he do it? Let me ask you this question, everybody. Are you sure you want justice? Are you sure? Be careful if you want fairness. Be very careful. How's your own heart? How's your heart? You want God to come? You want him to come dishing and flinging out fairness and justice? How will it go with you? That's why Jesus died. He died on that cross because he took the judgment that Christians deserve. He died on that cross. He was punished for the wrong things that you've done and that I've done. Jesus died in your place so that you can be forgiven. And do you know why? Because justice is served. At the cross, because Jesus died, God can be both just and merciful at the same time. If you don't think that blood needed to be shed for forgiveness, you don't believe in justice. At the cross, justice was done. And so, God can forgive those who look to Jesus because their sins are dealt with. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. At the trial of Cardinal Pell, let me close with this thought. The chief witness, one of the victims, like I said, now 31 years old, anonymous, no one knows who he is. He gave his testimony via camera. He's struggling to put his life together. He said something really profound. Listen to what he said. Here's the victim. This is the guy who brought Cardinal Pell down. Listen to what he said. At some point, I realized that I trusted someone I should have feared. And I feared those genuine relationships that I should have trusted. Why are you this morning trusting in revenge, in anger, in vindication? You shouldn't trust those things. Why do you not trust the one genuine relationship you can with God as your Father? Listen to what he says. I feared those genuine relationships I should have trusted. Why are you afraid to put your trust in a God who had his own son crucified on your behalf? Why are you afraid to trust him? Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth.